So I've got a word this morning, and we're going to jump in Joshua chapter 5 this morning. Joshua chapter 5, and I believe we're stepping into a new day. If you want to stand for the reading of the word, let's do that this morning if you're able. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, we're going to read a few verses here. And if you were there, say it's a new day.
It's a new day.
Amen. It says this, "So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan and all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At the time, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Make flint knives of yourself and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time.' So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt who were males and all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were not consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them in the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons, whom he had raised up on their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were all healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.' Therefore the name of this place is called Gilgal to this day." We're going to stop there this morning. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word today. I thank you, Jesus, for freedom in the house today. Lord, I thank you for your grace today. I think we're stepping into a new day and we're going to leave forever changed, Lord, that you're rolling things away in our lives. You're rolling our past away, God. And Lord, I just thank you that you are delivering us from things today. And Father, we just position ourselves for your word today and the work of your spirit in our lives. And I just thank you for the word today, Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. Well, in the passage this morning here in Joshua, what's going on is Israel just crossed over the Jordan. And this is a plan that God's been working for a long time. I mean, a really long time. This was a dream that was in his heart to see fulfilled. He desired for them to step in these promises. And he's literally been working this for the past 700 years of human history, which tells me God's not in a rush. He's not in a hurry. And sometimes we can be, but God is not in a rush and working his plans sometimes. But he had this dream, and his dream is and desire is for them to possess the promises, to step in this promised land, a land flowing of milk and honey. This was his desire and dream. And they had been in captivity for the past 400 years, which is a really long time. They were enslaved by the Egyptians, and I'm sure they would tell their family, their kids, they would say, "One day we're gonna possess the promises, what God has for us. We're gonna step into what we have." And that's why it's so important that we tell our kids and they're more aware of the promises of God over their lives and the circumstances they're presently facing in our day. Because we're facing so many challenges in our society, in our culture, in this day. And it's so important that our kids know the promises of God over their lives. And we may not experience it all, but they're going to experience it the generations after us. And God's working this plan, and it's becoming into fulfillment. And they're stepping into all that he's desired and dreamed for them to have. And they cross over, and the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And every step they take, the water begins to recede and push back to the banks, and it said that there was actually spies watching around from the nations around them, and they were looking and they were watching, and said they went back and their hearts melted with fear because of what they saw God doing. He was working in power, and they had the courage not to face them any longer, to fight them, to face them, because God was moving. God was working in power. He was moving. They were afraid to face Israel. So Israel, they had forward momentum. They were advancing. They were going forward in the things of God. And you would think God would say, now is the time to charge, to take the mountain, to possess the promises now. But that's not what God said. Sometimes we think God's going to move a certain way, and he doesn't move that way. I've learned that with walking with God, that sometimes he doesn't do the things that I think the way he's going to do it. He's like, "I want you to turn aside." It's like, why would God do this now? Why would he jeopardize their momentum of advancing forward and stepping into what he has for them? Why would he cause a pause to them stepping into the promised land? I mean, God's favor's on it. And I think we really hear the answer to the question of what God speaks to Joshua. And it's an important one. He says, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Today I've rolled away the reproach from Egypt from you. Today I have. Reproach is, it literally means disgrace and shame. It's a feeling, it's an emotion, it's an internal state that brings disgrace and shame. And God's telling Joshua, I'm rolling that all away today. You're no longer a slave, but you're a son. I'm rolling away your past and all that affected you. It's a new day for you, Joshua, that you're stepping into. I've rolled all of that away. Because Joshua, he was 80 years old when this was written at this time. The first 40 years he spent in Egypt in slavery. And the next 40 years he was a wilderness wanderer. He came outside of Egypt, but Egypt was not outside of him. He left Egypt, but Egypt did not leave him. There was something that he went through in Egypt that he carried on his journey that God was wanting to deal with in this time and in this moment. Because he was born in a generation of Israelites, and they were children of God, but they were born and lived in slavery. They were in captivity. The Egyptians, they beat them, they whipped them, they treated them like slaves, devalued them and belittled them, and this is the life that they were living. And I'm sure the Egyptians would tell their kids the reason why they're here and we're here is because they're a lower race. And they looked at them with reproach. And Joshua, he came out of Egypt and he went into the wilderness as a wilderness wanderer for the next 40 years. And I think it's something for us to look at, that there's some things that we've come out of. We've come out of our past, our mistakes, our failures, our pain or trauma, or whatever it may be, we've stepped out of. But how do you know there's a difference of stepping out of where you've been and stepping into what God has got? There's a difference of stepping out of where you've been and then stepping into what God has got for you. Because God doesn't want you to just be free. He wants to advance you. God doesn't want you to step out of your past, but he wants you and I to step into a future that he's got for you and me. I want you to step into it. I don't want you just to be free, but I want you to step into the destiny and all that I have for you. Amen. And the challenge, if we're not careful, is that we can become to be shaped by what we've been living in. We can be defined by what we've been living through. And the pain of our past, and it screams at us, and it calls at us, and we're carrying it so much, it begins to shape the way that we see the world and ourselves. And even though God's wanting to do great things through us, can I just tell you that he's got a promised land for you. He's got promises for your life. He's got a future for you, a purpose, a destiny, a calling. And it doesn't matter what Egypt you came from, you're the family you were raised in, or whatever you've been through. You are not a victim, but you are a victor. You're not rejected, but you're accepted. You're not the tail, but you're the head. You are not defeated, but you're led in triumph through Jesus. He's got a promise for you, promises for your life, things he wants you to step into. And the challenge, though, is when we carry the pain of our past, aka we got some baggage. We're carrying some baggage with us. God's like, I don't want you to carry that any longer. I don't want you to carry that where I'm taking you. And the challenge with carrying the pain, and the pain being in our present, is that the pain will always conform and pull us to the past in our present. There's a pull that tries to pull us to the past. When we're moving forward, there's this pull that says, you know what? This is what I know from yesterday. When we want to move forward, it just says, this is what I know. There's this fear and resounding voice in our mind that keeps us from stepping forward into what maybe God has for us. And if we're not careful, the reproach can taint our lives and keep us from stepping into what God wants for us. And God comes to Joshua, and he comes to you and I, and then he says, I want to get whatever's in you out of you. Whatever you went through, I want to get that out of you so we can be free to believe again, yeah, to trust again, to know what I want to do in your life. It's going to happen. And he speaks to us in that way. I don't know if you know the story of Moses, but what God does in Moses' life is it's really amazing. Because Moses was delivered out of slavery, so slavery could be delivered out of him. He was free in his heart. And the freedom in his heart, he grew up in Pharaoh's courts. He was an Israelite, but that freedom of one man set a whole generation free. God worked through Moses and set a whole generation free. The freedom that was on the inside of him, slavery wasn't in him. So it really leads us to believe that we shouldn't discount our personal journey of what God's doing in our life, walking towards wholeness and to freedom. It's worth it because it doesn't just affect you, but affects generations after you. The freedom that we discover in Christ and that we step to, the things that we're breaking, it's going to affect generations to come. Breaking generational curses, we become the platform and the foundation for the generation after us. It's worth it. It's just not you and me, but it's a generation after us. God doesn't want just a you, but he wants a family, not just a now, but a future. Not just a me, but a we, and it affects generations after us. And Joshua, he's dealing with this feeling, this shame and disgrace, and it's a feeling, it's an emotion, and God wants to roll all that away. It's like, I'm rolling that away. You know, Goliath, he had one very smart tactic. He almost defeated the whole army of Israel and just by sounding his voice. He sounded his voice in the morning and sounded his voice at night. That's the thing that they heard. And it caused them to be paralyzed in fear, to cower back because they kept hearing his voice over and over. And some of us today, we might have a voice in our head. Resounding voice first thing in the morning, and when we go to bed at night, there's a resounding voice. It might be a recurring memory of pain or a fault or disappointment or a failure or some kind of tragedy that's replaying in our mind. We hear it first thing in the morning, and when we go to bed, that resounding voice in our mind, and it brings a sense of disgrace and like shame on you. And we try to push it away, and the more we push it away, the more it like cements us in and brings this feeling of shame and disgrace. It brings this feeling of unworthiness in our lives. And it's these nagging fears and doubts. And when God begins to maybe want to bless you, you're like, I can't receive that. I'm not worthy of that. It undermines certainty and brings about a confusion when God wants to bless us. And Joshua, he has this feeling like, man, I'm just a slave. I've been through Egypt. I can't do what you're asking me to do and not up to the task. And God speaks to Joshua and is like, no, you're not a slave. You're a son. You are a son. And if Joshua dealt with reproach, how much more do you think you and I deal with reproach in our lives? And it comes in our lives unwarranted. And for believers of Christ who've accepted Jesus into our hearts and our lives, man, there shouldn't be any reason it should be there because God doesn't just accept our past, but he forgives our past. He forgives it. He doesn't let you move beyond it, but he forgets it. He forgets it. He chooses to forget. And we're remembering and rehearsing things of the past. We're bringing it up to God, and God's like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now. I've forgiven you, and I've forgotten about it. I want you to do the same in your life. What I've done for you is to forgive and forget. Do the same thing I've done for you because I don't even know what you're talking about. I've forgiven you and I've forgotten all about it. We remember and we rehearse it and God's like, just do the same thing I've done for you. Sometimes we're anchored into things we shouldn't be anchored into, and some of us have been anchored in our past. And reproach comes in our lives unwarranted. And we have to ask ourselves, how does it get there? I think one of the ways it gets there is our journey, our pathway through life. Because we're all on a journey. Every single one of us are journeying through this life with the Lord. It all looks a little different for you and I. But there's no journey where there's not a possibility of difficulty coming in our lives. God had to take Israel through Egypt to get him to the promised land. He had to take Joseph from the pit to the prison to get him to the palace. He had to take Daniel through captivity to the courts of Nebuchadnezzar. He had to take Esther from being an orphan to being in charge of the land of Persia. Sometimes the only way God can get you where he wants you to be is to maybe allow some difficulty in our lives. Not that he's the one causing it. He's not bringing sickness in our lives. He's not bringing all those things in our lives, but there's an enemy and we live in a fallen world, but God will turn it around for good. Some of us, maybe life has served up lemons, but God can make it lemonade. He can take some difficulties and turn it into good. He can take your mess and make it a message. He can take your test, turn it into a testimony, and take your pain and turn it into a promise, and then we set people free. You've got a testimony. Some of you were in a pit that God pulled you out of. You were in captivity, and God set you free. You need to tell other people what Jesus has done in your life. Someone's like, I don't have anything to say. Yeah, you do have something to say. You encountered Jesus, and he delivered you, set you free, healed you, saved you, filled you with his Holy Spirit. You have something to say of what God's done in your life. We go through difficulty in our journey. It's not something we like to hear, but God's perfecting us. He's refining us in the process to trust in him and not lean in our own understanding. And through our journey, we go through this, and we don't want to agree with the reproach of the journey. People may say things, but you're not the words of people. You're not the opinions of people. We live for applause of one, and that's applause from God. Yeah. We're heading on a destiny, a destination that God is taking us to, and sometimes in our journey, reproach comes around us, comes through the pathway of life. I think another way that reproach comes in our life is from the attack of the enemy, the attack of the devil. There is an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. He comes to you and he comes to me, and when opportunities surface in our life from the journey that we are on, events happen, he pops in and says, yeah, that's who you are. That's what you get in life. That's your lot in life. Bringing guilt, shame, condemnation over you. That's who you are. That's who you always will be. And I know he'll do it for us, because if he did it for Jesus, did it to him, he'll do it for us as well. Because Jesus, and I want to read a scripture out of Luke. Jesus was walked through this. In Luke chapter 3:23, it says, he was a son, so it was thought of Joseph. He was a son, so it was thought of Joseph. Everybody was looking at Jesus and Mary and Joseph, they get married, and 5 months they have Jesus, and it takes 9 months to have a baby. So everybody's looking and saying, you know what? You're that kind of kid, right? That's a big deal in the Israel community. And he fast forward to Luke chapter 4, and Jesus is speaking and teaching in his hometown, and somebody stands up and says, isn't that Joseph's son? Is he that son? John chapter 8, I want to read this here. Jesus is having this debate with the Pharisees about whether they're children of God or not, whether Abraham is their father or not. He says this in John chapter 8, verse 39. Jesus talking to the Pharisees here. He says, the Pharisees spoke, Abraham is our father. They answered, if you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me. A man has told you the truth that I have heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. In other words, he's saying you're the children of the devil. And this is their response. We are not illegitimate children. We are not illegitimate children. Basically, what they're doing is they're taking a swipe at Jesus. They're saying, you are an illegitimate child, but we are not. The King James says, we were not conceived in fornication. So basically what they're doing, they're looking at Jesus and saying, you are lower. You are disqualified. You can't be the Messiah. We don't know how you're doing miracles, but clearly you're not able. They looked at him with disgrace and shame. And they were doing that because they're trying to get him to fall into temptation. Like when the enemy came and tempted Jesus 3 times, what did he say? If you are the son, are you the son? Is that really who you are? Are you the son? Attacking his identity. And Joshua crossed the Jordan. Jesus crosses into the Jordan of the baptism and getting ready to step into what God has for him, stepping into the fullness of his ministry. And the enemy comes along and says, are you really the son? Are you who you say you are? I know who you are, but are you really the son? And if he did that to Jesus, he's going to do that to you and me. And all the enemy does is he lobs up and sows questions, trying to exploit our journey. All he has is lies that he throws at us. And if we believe the lie, we empower the liar. That's the only authority that he has. If we believe the lie, then we give him authority in our life and we empower that lie. We empower the enemy in our lives. And some of us, we've not believed the truth and believed the lie. And God wants to displace the lie and give way for the truth in our lives. Like he came to Joshua, it's like, man, I want to get that misbelief that's in you. I want to get it out of you. That lie that you believed, I want to get it out of you so you can step into what I have for you and truly believe again and be free in your spirit. I want to get that lie out of you, what you believed about yourself. Now, I think there might be some of us here today that's, you know what, as I'm speaking, he says, you know what, I'm not my pain. I'm not my past. I'm not my mistakes. I'm not my failures. I'm none of those things. I believe today's a new day for some of us that God wants you to step in. He wants to roll away the past, roll away your mistakes, roll away the pain, not carry that any further because you can't carry that in the new day. He wants to roll all that away because he's got a destination. He's got a purpose. He's got a calling in your life, and he wants to roll all that away as you step into the new day. He wants us to displace the lie to give place for the truth. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm a son. You're a daughter. The head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Accepted. I'm his beloved. You are his beloved. He's pleased with you. He knew you before the foundations of the world were even framed. He chose you and called you. Got to displace the lie and give place for the truth. Because when reproach comes in our lives, it'll cause us to pull back in the day we're supposed to be moving forward. When it's in our lives, there's these nagging fears and doubts when we should have a great level of expectation. It keeps us from being who God's called us to be, the best version of you. And God's in the business of rolling the reproach away. He rolls all that away. And I think when we let reproach in our lives, just to give us a couple things here, when we have reproach in our lives, the first thing is that we come with a lower expectation. We lower our expectations. When we have reproach in our lives, this feeling of unworthiness and shame, our expectations are low. It's like, I want to have a higher expectation, believe that God's going to move in my life, and today could be the day of breakthrough. Today could be the day that God shows up and moves in power in me and through my life. I want to have great expectations, high expectations. When we have reproach, we have low expectations. It's like, I'm glad you saved me, but I'm not worthy of anything. We come in his presence with our heads bowed down and before his throne of grace, God, I'm just a worm. That's all I am. I'm not worthy. God didn't just save you, but he freed you. He didn't free you, but he just called you. He didn't call you, but he redeemed you. And the promises of God are yes and amen in him. And God wants us to live with a high level of expectation. He hasn't lowered his expectations of ourselves, and we shouldn't lower our expectations of ourselves either. He wants to roll it away, the reproach. And when we find it in our lives, sometimes it's deception, and God wants to deliver us from that. He wants to liberate us from our diminished dreams and goals to begin to believe again that he's a God that can do above all that we could ask or think, beyond we can dream or fathom. He can do above all of that because he's that kind of God. But when you're living with reproach and shame's on you, your expectations are low. God wants to roll that away so you can believe again. Believe what he has for you and step into what he's got for you. I think another thing that reproach does is reproach, it allows the unworthy to prevent opportunity. There's opportunities, days of opportunity that meet us, and the unworthiness keeps us from stepping into those days of opportunity. You know, reproach is all throughout the Bible. It's laced all throughout. I think it's one of the number one things that people in the Bible struggled with. It's like, God, I can't do what you're asking of me. I'm not up to the task. I can't do that. It's all throughout the Bible. Gideon struggled with reproach. I'm the least. I'm the weakest. Saul did. Don't you know my family, my background, where I came from? Peter, when he disappointed maybe Jesus, he goes back to fishing, and he's like, I can't do anything for Jesus anymore. And Jesus shows up. He's like, Peter, what are you doing here? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. It's all throughout the Bible. I think one of the greatest examples, or maybe the worst example, if we want to call it, is Moses. Moses, this is what God tells Moses. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. Moses, he was called to be the deliverer of Israel, and he had this great destiny of influence, and God's calling him to this. In Exodus 3:10, he says, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" It's like, God, who am I? Don't you know who I am? I can't, really? In Exodus 4, he says, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?'" He keeps going and says, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue." I can't even talk very good. Really, God? Don't you understand who you're talking to right now? Who am I to do this, God? I can't even speak. I'm slow and not eloquent in speech. It's interesting, though, when you go to Acts 7:22, what other people say about Moses. It says this in Acts 7:22, "Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action." Wow. Powerful in speech and action. Wow. And then sometimes that some people say, you know, you've got a calling and destiny on your life. And you're like, no, not really. You're just kind of flattering me right now. It's like there's a difference between how people perceive us and how we perceive ourselves sometimes. We'll call it for what it is. It's reproach. It's self-deceit. And God wants to roll that away so you can step into what he's called you and called you to be and called you to do. It goes on in Exodus 4. It says that the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He said this in Exodus 4:13. He said, "Moses said, I have to say, I can't speak. Who am I? What if they don't believe me? Oh, Lord, send somebody else to do it." And so the Lord's anger burned against Moses. He just kept on going, digging himself in a hole here. It's like, just send somebody else, God. Just send somebody else. I'm not the one for the job here. Send somebody else. Now, there's probably a lot of ways we can maybe disappoint God, but let it not be that we let the devil rule in the arena of our hearts and minds, that we believe the deception about ourselves and not what God has called us to do, not what he's said about us. Let that not be the way that we function, and let that deceit come in our minds and our hearts. It's like, I can't do this. You know, I'd rather believe in too much than too little. Yeah. I find myself believing too little and not too much. I'd rather believe too much than not too little. And God's like, this is the day of opportunity. I want you to step in the day of opportunity. And when reproach is in our lives, it makes us feel unworthy, and we don't step in those days of opportunities that the Lord brings to us. I think another thing that happens when reproach is in your life is that you can decline influence through inferiority. You just say no, just decline it. Jeremiah, God speaks to him. He's like, man, I knew you before you were even born. He looks at all of us today and says, you know what? I knew you before you were born. I planned out the days of your life. And Jeremiah's like, I'm only a child. Isn't that what we do? It's, I'm only this, I'm only that. This is where I come from. And he speaks to Jeremiah and says, I want you to speak to whomever, and I want you to say whatever I command you to say. Don't let inferiority stop you. Like, get to a point where you can believe that you can do what God's called you to do, because when reproach is in our lives, it makes us feel inferior. I'm just this. I'm just that. And God wants to roll that away in our lives. Joshua, he crosses the Jordan, and God says, today, Josh, I'm rolling away the reproach in your life. You're no longer a slave, but you're a son. You're not a victim, but you're a victor in me. Jesus is in the Jordan being baptized. A voice speaks out. It's the Father saying, this is my son. Not just Joseph's son, not the illegitimate son, but this is my son who I love. Not just love, but I'm well pleased with. It's a new day. This is my son. Does anybody know that they are a son and daughter today? That God not only loves you, but he's pleased with you if you are in Christ. There's a story that a lot of us are probably aware of and probably heard of in the New Testament, where this lady was caught in the act of adultery, and they bring her before Jesus. And they say, Jesus, what do you say about this? They were getting ready to stone her. Jesus, what do you say? They're trying to trap him with the law. He says, who is without sin, cast the first stone. And one by one, they begin to walk away. They begin to leave one by one. He looks at the woman and says, where are they that condemn you? Where's the truth that you don't have any future? Where are they that condemn you? Where's the truth and the notion that yesterday's sins are doesn't mean you don't have a promise of tomorrow? She says, I don't have any. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And on that day, he rolled away the reproach from her. I'm rolling away the past, rolling away the shame, rolling away the mistakes, and stepping into a new day. And I think some of us this morning, we've been shaped by where we've been living. It might have been like in Egypt. Some things that we're carrying some baggage, and there's shame on us, and past mistakes, and failures, and maybe tragedy, and those things we're carrying, and we've let the things that we've gone through define us, carrying the pain of the past, and some of us is screaming at us this morning, and it's trying to pull the present to the past, and God's like, I want to roll that away. Roll your past away. Roll the shame. Roll the disgrace away so you can step in to what I've got for you. I've got promises for your life. I've got a destiny. I've got a future for you. I've got a promised land for you that I want you to step into. We're not going to take that where you're going. And some of us today, we might be carrying shame, guilt, condemnation. Guilt says, I did bad. Shame says, I am bad. Yeah. And God wants to roll that away. He wants to displace the lie and give place for the truth. I just want to give you some truth this morning, if I can do that. This is what God says about you, who you are now in Christ. Your standing is a new creation, a people for his possession, a royal priesthood. You're alive to God. All grace abounds towards you. All sufficiencies in you through him. You're anointed. You're the apple of his eyes. As he is, so are we in this earth. You're baptized in one spirit. You're baptized into Christ and his death. You're being perfected. You are the beloved. You are blameless. You are blessed. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing. You've got bold access to the throne of God. You're bold as a lion. You are part of the tribe. You're buried with Christ in his death. You can do all things through Christ. You are chosen. You're a chosen generation. Christ indwells within you in all his fullness. You are the co-heir with Christ. You are created for good works. You are curse-free. You're dead to sin. You're dead with Christ. You are declared holy. You are a disciple. You are the elect. You are enriched. Everything works in your favor. You are given all things. You are the habitation of God. You have the mind of Christ. He is at work in you. He is for you, not against you. You are healed. You are hidden in Christ. You are highly favored. You are his body. You are faithful. You are a kingdom citizen. You are free and free of sin. You are his fullness. You are his possession. You are his workmanship. You are a holy nation. You are a holy priesthood. You are increasing in the knowledge of God. You are inseparable from the love of God. You are the jewel of his eye. You are joint heir with Christ. You are justified. The kingdom of God is within you. You are a king. You are a priest. You are a ruler. You are known by him. You are lacking by nothing. You are the light of the world. You are living by faith. You live by God's word. You are a living stone. You are made in his image. You are made rich in everything. You are more than a conqueror. You are a new creation. You are a sound mind. You are ordained. You are different people. You are the people of God. You are the pillars of God. You are prepared for good works. You are protected, purified, raised with Christ in resurrection life. You are redeemed. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are a royal priesthood. You are a saint, and you are the salt of the earth. You are sanctified. You are saved. You are sealed. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You are a servant of God. You're the sheep of his pasture. You are a shining star. You are a son and daughter of God. You are a son of light. You are the stewards of the mysteries. You are strengthened by him. You are the elect of God. You are the friends of God. You're the fullness of life and godliness. You are the temple of God. You are transformed. You are a vessel of glory, a vessel of honor. You walk by faith. You walk in newness of life. You are a warrior. You are the wise. You are the witness, and you're absolutely worthy of the Lord. I say, thank you, Jesus. That's who you are. Your son and daughter. He loves you and is pleased with you today. You are his beloved, chosen by him. And this morning, God wants to roll the old away because you're stepping into a new, you are a new creation. That's who you are. And if that's you today, you've been carrying things of the past, pain of the past, maybe your mistakes, your failures, tragedy, whatever it may be, God wants to roll that away so you can step in your new day today. Forever change by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if that's you this morning, I just want us to stand this morning. I want to pray for us. I believe God wants to get to expose the lies and give place for the truth this morning. The deception that we believe we've empowered, maybe the lie and the enemy, and God wants to break that today and roll that away so we can walk in truth and walk in the newness of life of who he's called us to be. God doesn't want you to be free, but he wants to advance you. There's a difference of stepping out of where you have been and stepping into what he's got. Maybe you need to step out where you've been, and this morning you need to step into what he's got. Some of you need to step in to the new day. Say, God, I want you to roll it away. Roll away the past. Roll away the pain. Roll all that the baggage that I'm carrying. I want you to roll it away this morning. If that's you this morning, I just want to challenge you maybe to step out of your seat or come forward. Say, you know what? Thank you, God, that you're rolling it away, and I'm going to step in this new day that you have for me. You're rolling away the guilt, rolling away the shame, rolling away the past that we've been carrying. Just pray the Holy Ghost for a minute. Siro kota la masita la 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 kota la masita. Lord, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for exposing lies right now. I thank you for showing truth. I thank you, maybe some things we don't even realize we're carrying. You show us right now so we can throw it at your feet and say, we're not going to carry it anymore, but you're going to roll it away. We're not the pain that maybe people inflicted on us. We're not the hurt that screams at us. We're not just the words of people, but we are who you say that we are. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we are a new creation. Thank you, Jesus, that we are your sons and daughters. We're not slaves. We're sons. Daughters. You love us with an everlasting love. You say, I'm pleased with you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's your Father. He's for you, not against you. You're a son, daughter. You're not the words of other people, but you are what he says you are. You're his. The apple of his eye. So we just say thank you, Jesus, for rolling it away. It's done. You've rolled it away. No more shame. No more guilt. No more condemnation. No more carrying the past. I thank you for healing, touching hearts this morning, and revealing truth. So we just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. It's nothing we've done. It's you made us worthy because of the cross and your blood and the resurrection. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are the righteousness of God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for delivering people this morning, setting people free of their past. You are not your past. You are not your past. Your past has no place, no right in your life any longer. We break the past right now in the name of Jesus. We break the past in the name of Jesus. We break the lies of the enemy right now. And the enemy has no right. You are not defined by your past. You are not your past. We break the past. We cut it off in the name of Jesus. Step it into a new day. Stepping into your promises and all that we are, all that you've called us to be. So we thank you, Jesus. Can we just thank him for a moment? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being so good. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you, Jesus, for rolling it all away.